Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my favorite person in the world?
How are you, my dear Cindy? I am well.
Everything is good. Everything's a little bit hectic. It's funny. I get like a million emails, messages a day. And, you know, sometimes I can't answer them right away. Maybe we'll send 10 more. And I'm like, if I didn't get to the first one, don't send me 10 more because it's not helping things here.
Please
I will
don't.
Get to it. You know, I will get to it. Please be patient is what I ask people to. Do you notice when like, people message you or text you, if you don't answer them right away, they're like freaking. It's like, really? You know,
my wife does that crap, and it pisses me off. Like, she'll ask me, like, I'll be in the middle of my workday, and she'll know that I'm working. She knows where I am during the day, okay? And she will send me a text message, and I won't answer. She'll ask me a question. Then she'll say, are you there? And, like, seriously, I have not answered a single message yet. And then she will proceed to send me question marks. Well, like, the question marks are going to get my attention to have me answer that damn question.
Wow. So I said, I just kind of feel like it's only slowing me more because I have to keep going through the emails more and more. It's the same people. Give me a break here. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break. And you just gotta laugh sometimes. And I'm like, please, no, nothing's wrong. I'm not mad at you. I just didn't get to it. I love them saying, are you mad at me? I will be if you keep sending me emails.
Exactly.
But you do have to laugh. Now, I don't know if you wanted to share the beautiful story that you told me before the radio show, but if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Of course I will.
But I think it's an amazing story, so I think our listeners would love it.
All right. Well, for those of you who regularly listen, then you will have already heard this story. So I'll recap it for those who have not. Back on August 14th, my cousins, very, very close friends of the family, but we do call them, family. We call them our cousins. Unfortunately, they lost a one-year-old little girl in a tragic drowning accident where somebody left a gate open. And unfortunately, the baby was unattended for couldn't have been more than a couple of minutes. And in the search for her, they found her in the water, and she had passed away that day. And she was 1 year old. And, of course, that is a terrible, terrible thing for any parent to go through. But recently, we found out that she is pregnant. And, of course, we were all keeping our fingers crossed and everything else. And we found out that she is having another little girl. And the amazing cosmic sort of thing around this story is not only is she pregnant again this soon after she lost her child, and not only is it a little girl, but her due date, the doctor said, is none other than August 14th.
Oh, I just got chills.
She lost her one little girl on August 14th of 2016, and her new little girl is due on August 14th of 2017. So I think that is absolutely, I got chills when I first heard it myself. So it was amazing.
That's a way of learning.
And I told people, if you ever wonder whether or not the universe is speaking to you, there's your proof right there because I don't think that that could have any more synchronicity to it, really.
Exactly. And, you know, when people die or when they're born, you know, when they die or their birthday, they like to somehow either die on their birthday or die in a significant day that you have to celebrate. Like, this child would want her to have to celebrate a birthday on that day instead of mourning for the other child. It's just their way of saying, you know, you have to celebrate. You just have to. So these dates are always extremely important, and it's just amazing. And I'm so happy and so thrilled for her. And I know it's like one child doesn't take the place of another, but it's just a miracle. You know, it's just a miracle.
Yep.
And I'm sure your whole family's rejoicing.
Oh yeah.
You know,
absolutely. We are just, you know. It's you know, like you said, Cindy, it doesn't take the place of the one that was lost, but I think that to a certain extent it makes mourning her and letting her go a little bit easier, because it's almost as if, you know, not even the whole celebration portion of it, but it's almost like a gift from her saying, "Mommy,
it
don't
is
be
a gift.
Sad anymore."
It is a gift.
You know,
it's not almost,
you know,
a gift. It is
saying,
a gift.
Mommy, don't be sad anymore. It's okay. You know, so that's what I love about it. You know, I mean, and of course she could not be more happy. She kind of wanted a little boy because she didn't want to feel like she was replacing her. But you know, the cosmos knows better than she does. So,
because the little girl wants all those little beautiful clothes and toys of hers to be used.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what the little boy said. But I want her to use my toys. I want her to have my clothes. And you know, she had such beautiful clothes. And, you know, it's very, very nice news. And we always like to hear a little bit of good, happy news in the midst of, you know, all day long I hear horrible, sad stuff. So I love when I hear a little bit of happiness.
Know.
You know, I mean, it's just one of those things that is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And we need to also just take a moment to remind our listeners that we don't have a show next week. I'm just going to take a little time off. And so you have a week off, too. And we will come the next following week. And I did have a wonderful gallery reading at South Country Tavern, which is just down the block from where I live. And we had a full house. Every seat in the house was taken. And you'll probably – and I had to do 5 readings that day because whenever I take a little time off from work, I'm tripled up. You know that. So you don't get –
of course.
I work a full – I work 2 weeks in 1 week is what it comes down to get a week off. And so I'd done 5 readings before that. And I read 43 people that night.
Oh, my God. You're crazy.
Could you – and the people – like, you can't believe you read – like I just – well, the only 2 people I didn't read were 2 people that didn't want to be read. So it was but by the end of it, and then people are still like asking me questions when the 2 hours is up, and I swear I was in another zone. I couldn't process one more thought. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like
no,
I wanted to tell everybody, shut up. Do you know I need you to shut up? But of course I can't be rude.
Oh,
but it was like, and then they wanted to ask me more questions, but at the end I was like, it has to be off. I have to shut it off. Do you know what I mean? It was like my head felt so weird. And so, you know, sometimes when people, you know how you feel at the end of a work day when it's just, don't ask me one more question. I just can't deal with it.
Oh, yeah, completely.
That's how I felt.
Sometimes I'm like that by noon. Who are you kidding?
No.
Sometimes by noon I'm like, yeah, no more.
But of course, it was a wonderful event. And, you know, we're going to have another one on May 15th. So, you know, it's just good because we couldn't, it was spilling over the amount of people. So we had to open up another night. So it's always a little fun to do those readings. It's a little bit difficult because I have to censor half of what I say because it's got an audience there. So you can imagine how I have to be careful what I say. And it's not always easy.
Well, you know what? But also I think that, overall, though, when you have events like this, I mean, I think that it's very, very important for not you, but for the host or the hostess to to say something along the lines of, hey, listen, you know, this is going to be going on, but, you know, just out of respect for the person that's doing this, you know, that's doing all these readings, when we're done, we really need to be done and no more questions when, you know, once that happens.
I think that's extremely important.
And it shouldn't come from you. It should come from the people that are hiring.
No, but also I feel like at that point, I don't know how accurate the information is going to be after that because that's exactly my point.
Like I don't think that you should be the heavy in situations like that. I really don't believe that that's the case. It should be, hey, listen, you know what, for accuracy purposes, for this, for that, for whatever, however they want to say it. When we're done, please refrain from asking any other questions once she's done.
Right, because I don't want to be rude, but I couldn't explain. No one reads, 49 people or 48 people in a day. Okay, nobody. And,
nah.
You know, so I was like, nah. Please. And they'll be like, but I wanted to hear from Great Aunt Tilly. Really? Well, I spoke to 120 dead people tonight, okay? You know, so...
Seriously.
I couldn't talk to, you know, I mean, there was probably 500 dead people in the room, but I could only get through 120 something. So yeah, it's always funny. You know, it's like, you know, I know with other mediums, when they do gallery readings, they read six people. That's all. And they go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I read my six people. I'm going home.
That's funny.
But
that's
I do my
funny.
Best. Anyway, we do have to remind our listeners, if they want to speak to us, they do have to press.
Press the number one.
Because otherwise we don't know. Now, we haven't screened these people, so maybe you'll pick up the first caller who's been waiting almost 20 minutes, and that's 3184, the last four digits, and maybe you can clear that up.
You got it. Hello, 3184. You are on the air. Please be normal.
I'll try to be.
Oh, it's a man. We love it.
Normal?
You know, it's funny because we don't know, because sometimes we get people who hijack the show, so we're always afraid it hasn't been screened first. But so great to hear a guy, because we don't get that many men. So where are you calling from?
Right now I'm in Kansas, and I'm calling because somebody actually told me I should call in. She gave me the phone number and everything.
Oh, okay. So you're calling. So, you know, I usually like to say I'm not in Kansas anymore, but you are. So, that's wonderful that you called in. Now, is there a specific question on your heart or in your mind right now?
Actually, I just started reading the books, and I just started reading all these things. And the person that I am talking to and have just met, she's the one that had me reading this stuff. And we were just kind of curious because both of us come from a very bad background, a bad past. She thinks we're kind of soulmates, and I think maybe, I don't know. I'm reading your book, and I'm still learning everything. So I guess we're just trying to figure out, you know.
Now, is this my beautiful chakra dancer lady?
How did you know that?
Because all of a sudden came jumping through her spirit guides to say, happy, happy, happy we are for her, okay? And, you know, she's been on a soulmate path and doing her homework and her, you know, her inner healing for a very long time. So she deserves to have a very nice man like you. And I'm sorry, I didn't ask you your name. What's your name?
Don.
Don. That she deserves to have someone, you know, like you. And she knows what a soulmate is. A soulmate has a heart connection. Do you feel a heart connection with her?
I would think so, yes. I've known
her.
How
about
her
a mind connection? Do you like talking
yes.
with her? Okay.
We
now,
get along
I know
very,
you have to have
good.
A body connection with this gorgeous woman, so you have to have a body connection.
Well, here's the thing. We have known each other our whole entire lives.
Wow.
So, yes. Our parents were best friends. So I've known her since we were pretty much born. We haven't seen each other in 30 years, and the strange thing is in your book it says nothing happens by coincidence, and everything happens for a reason at the time it's supposed to happen.
Exactly,
so.
And you're also at the 30-year mark, because anyone who listens to our show, and you'll see it in Grant Me a Higher Love, relationships work in 5-year cycles. So at the 6 5-year cycles, God would reunite you, and soulmates are often brought decades before they're ready to come together as, you know, a romantic couple. So everything that you're saying fits the soulmate the whole soulmate path, being brought earlier, now being reunited. You have a lot of family ties between the two of you. Does she bring out the best in you most of the time? Do you have a soul connection with her? Do you feel good when you're near her?
We get along very, very good. It's outside disturbances that have caused created some problems. But when we're together and we're talking together and we're alone, we get along absolutely 100% great.
And that's funny. That's true, because soulmates oftentimes have big obstacles to overcome. There could be family resistance. You know, there's sometimes age, race is different. There's a lot of differences sometimes that have to overcome. And basically, you're supposed to know only love matters. And for her children's sake, do you have children as well, Don?
No.
Okay, good. But her children need to see a better version of love than what they've seen. So it's important that you're there.
Well, you must obviously know about the situation she just came out of. Why she
just
came out.
Right. And you're in New York, correct? Now you're
We both grew up in New York. I was actually in Arizona. She came to Kansas to be with that other person.
Right.
That kind of fell apart and didn't go too good. So, like I said, it's a strange coincidence, because the day she actually contacted me, I was actually walking out of Arizona and leaving Arizona to go to New York. So it was kind of strange, because we haven't talked to each other in 30 years. And out of nowhere, she just started writing to me. It was the day I was leaving for New York. So I stopped in Kansas, and a two-day trip turned into a 35-day trip.
Now, are you going to be able to overcome the obstacles of where you're going to be living so you can have this relationship that's, you know, the two of you are in the same state together?
Well, there is a lot of obstacles in our way that we're working on and trying to figure out. You know, like I said, she just had a very bad situation happen. She's living in a bad situation. I just walked out of a very bad situation, trying to work my way out of that one. But I'm back in Kansas 4 weeks later.
Well, great, because what I would do if I were the two of you is take it one day at a time. You definitely, I could see in these cards, you have a very strong soulmate connection. And I would want for you guys to be the soulmate couples that actually make this work. You know, a lot of people are offered soulmates. It's just very hard to maintain it. But you have to be committed to the love and committed to making this work. And, you know, even if there's obstacles, even if, you know, not everybody's happy about it, we have to learn to follow our hearts. And what's best for your heart and what's best for her heart is ultimately best for everybody, because our heart is our compass. And what the two of you need to pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourselves. Stop worrying about everybody else. Worry about you, yourself. You know, it looks like God has brought you a great gift in bringing the two of you together at the right time, the right space. Even though there are obstacles and it might not seem like the right time, God is very well aware of what time it's on the planet. Okay, so when he brings love together, which he does, and, you know, your parents had a little say in this too, by the way, and they would want you to be happy. I know the two of you said, you know, you're saying you both had difficult childhoods. It's not unusual for people who become great healers or light workers or people who end up with a great soulmate love to have difficult childhoods. You know, we have this sort of wound in our heart that never heals. We're more compassionate than other people might be. And, you know, you're an old soul that was born into dysfunction to end it. And it's not easy to end it. Most of us keep doing a lot of dysfunction on our way. But the two of you are both doing your inner homework, reading the book, getting to know each other. Are you trying to just take it one day at a time, by the way?
That's a little hard considering we're so far apart. And like I said, we spent 35 days here together almost every single day. I think we're a little past one day at a time, because everything just clicked. I mean, the first night we talked for 9 hours on the phone.
Well, I could understand how you could talk to her for 9 hours. I could talk to her for 9 years. I just love her. She's one of my, you know, favorite people. I loved her from the first moment I saw her. And, you know, meaning taking it one day at a time is don't worry so much about everything. Just enjoy each other when you're with each other. I mean, eventually figure out where you're going to live or she's going to live or all of that. And, you know, she has children right now. They're pretty happy in Kansas, from what I remember. so she can't really uproot them right now.
Well, I'm actually taking her oldest son to New York tonight.
Wow.
He wants to go visit his friends in New York, so we're driving to New York tonight together.
Now, this is a great bonding thing. He needs a really good father figure, by the way. He hasn't really had that. And, you know, get to know him, bond with him. And what I'm seeing, the two of you have definitely been brought together by the powers that be. You know, you deserve it. She deserves it. And just keep talking to each other, communicating with each other. As you're reading the books, especially Grant Me a Higher Love, because soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. Are any of your issues starting to surface? You don't have to share them with us, but are you feeling things surfacing inside of you?
I see a lot of things in both of us and feel them.
Right, and they will surface. And what most people do is they get scared and they run away. They start thinking, I was fine before you came into my life. No, the person wasn't. They just had a Band-Aid on a carcinoma.
I don't believe that in the first place.
Right, so you never want to, you know, the only really, really, really hope for people to heal is soulmate love. That's, you know, that helps us, and you both have each other's arms to hold and each other to lean on during this particular time. And I know that, you know, Michelle's done a lot of inner healing herself, and, you know, some of your issues will start to surface, some of hers will. But I just see really good things in the cards here. I don't see why this shouldn't work. I mean, unless one of you sabotages it or you let somebody else sabotage it. And just to make you both feel a little better about this, if you know how this in the wedding ceremony it says, let no man put asunder. What that means is when two soulmates are brought together, they're brought by God. They're brought by people who've died, and it's the primary unit of the world. Soulmates are the Adam and Eve of the world. They come above everybody. They come above children. They come above any other family member. They're supposed to come first. And if any person puts that asunder, a child, anybody, starts making that soulmate love fall apart, they will answer karmically to God very harshly. God is not happy if we let someone destroy our soulmate love. So you almost want to make sure nobody else sabotages this, or, you know, say a child sabotages it. Well, that person won't be granted a soulmate anytime soon. God won't give that.
I've read that. I've read that part.
So what I'm saying is sometimes it's up to you guys to make this work. If you don't have any mixed feelings about it, if you just feel like this is what we want, the universe opens every door and cooperates. So it's up to you guys to decide this is what we want, to commit to each other, to commit to the healing that soulmate love demands, to treat each other as two equals. Nobody's mommy to a boy, or nobody's daddy to a girl. Nobody's master over each other. To say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. And, this could work. And, you know, again, 45% of people are offered soulmate love. 1% actually maintain it. So I would want you to be one of the 1%. It's not easy. It demands a lot, soulmate love. But
if
you put it
that hard.
Okay, you don't think it's that hard.
I mean, well, it's like everything else. You got to do the work.
You got to do the work, of course. And a lot of
people. I mean, every relationship is work.
Right, but most people will not heal in this lifetime. They don't want to. Mm-hmm. They really don't want to heal. But I just see such wonderful things in the future for the two of you. So I'm really happy you called in. And it was so funny. As soon as you got on the phone, within 2 seconds, Michelle's spirit guides were jumping up and down happy that, you know, you guys are together. And I was
actually shocked that you even knew that you said her name that so fast.
Well, because, I mean, it wasn't 1 second. I'm like, okay, because the dead are a very good sort of secretarial system. They'll always tell me who it is, what I forgot, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but she is one of my most favorite people in the world. And
well, now she's one of my favorite people.
Well, good. And, you know, would you do us a favor and call in again, either Michelle or you or both of you, and let us know how this is progressing along? And if you should kind of feel like something's getting bumpy or rocky, certainly call in, because, you know, it's pretty easy for me to see what might be sabotaging a relationship and how, you know, you can make it work. So that's my mission, to make more soulmate couples, you know, actually manifest and keep love. And you just keep reading the book. You know, Grant Me a Higher Love. It's a, you know, it's a big book. It takes a long time to read, and there's a lot in it. So just
I've already read
it,
most of it, and I'll go back and do it a second time.
Because it's a lot. It's a lot. But what it is just saying the words, Grant Me a Higher Love, was a channeled prayer. Anybody who says, Grant Me a Higher Love, they're going to get a higher love. They're meant to get that love.
Michelle was going to call in, and she wanted to, she was going to say to you that since she read the book, I actually bought her the book again to tell her to read it again.
Okay. Yeah. But first of all, sometimes my own spirit guides tell me, Cindy, read your book. You've forgotten some of it. So I have to.
Well, she did. I was reading it to her one night, and I was reading something on there, and she was just like, I don't remember that. And I had to I bought her the book, and I told her to go read it again.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have a client, Andrew, who listens to our show regularly, and he'll quote from the book, and I swear I don't even remember it's my quote that I wrote it. I go, that's a good quote. Who wrote it? You. Oh, okay. You know, so, and there'll be times when I'm going through an issue in my life, and my spirit guides will say, open the book to page 333 or whatever, and I'll open up, and there's the answer. Like, you know, don't you remember this? You know, so a lot of the book was channeled. I worked a lot of research, a lot of channeling, a lot of using my own sorrow and healing issues to create it. But I think it's a book that you can probably read many times over at different stages of life, because something might not have been a problem when we were younger, but might be a problem now or an issue, or, you know. So it's a book that we can pick up oftentimes. But thank you so much for telling me that. You made my day, Don. You sound like a wonderful, wonderful man. And I couldn't be happier for Michelle at all.
And, yes, we will call back in and let you know what's going on.
Okay. And if you read the book, and if something ever, you know, anybody and our listeners, if you're reading the book and there's something you don't understand, just ask in the radio show, because I'll clarify anything that needs clarifying.
I will. And thank
you
very much.
Well, thank you so much, and have a great evening.
You too.
Bye. Now, Nicole, wasn't that amazing? You know who Michelle is, the chakra dancer. And you remember her? She has the
I remember exactly who she was. Because I remember that there was that around there was that she was from here, she went there, and I figured
right.
She got there, and then she got somebody from here. Like, I remember the whole thing. It was amazing.
Right, it's amazing. And I just love it. He sounds like such a great man. And, of course, I always get, you know, if anybody who's reading Grant Me a Higher Love or Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships makes my day when they say they're actually reading. I'm like, oh, so I didn't waste 4 years on Grant Me a Higher Love or 2 years on Why Good People. Somebody actually reads it. You know? So I like hearing that a lot. Now, I know we have Adrian, but we're going to just skip down one to the 3622 first, because I promised one of my clients that I would pick him up tonight, and then we'll go right to Adrian. So, Adrian, hang in there. We'll definitely get to you.
All right. Hello, you're on the air, 3622.
Best 3622 is Big Sal.
Hi, Big Sal. How you doing? How you doing? I like that, Big Sal.
Listen, I just got to say real quick, and, you know, I remember when you gave me that book, and I remember when I, you know, used to call you up and come there once a week and, you know, drive you crazy.
Right, and remember, I always keep, when I go to your house and you're with your beautiful, beautiful rose, I always tease you how, you know, you used to always say, how am I going to get Rose back? How am I going to get Rose back? And you did follow what was guided in. Can you tell our listeners that you do have Rose back? So
I do, and I just wanted to let you know I'm getting married September 17th of this year.
Wow, you're kidding!
No,
wow, and I helped make this work because you really screwed it up the first round.
Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it.
And you were just so great, because he would just be going, how am I going to get Rose back? And I would say, you have to do this. No, you can't do that. You have to do this. And so he was another person.
I slept with that book you gave me. I used to sleep with that book.
I used to say, just sleep. You don't even have to read it. Just keep it near you. Just keep it near you.
You gave me all them rocks? I used to walk around with all them rocks in my pockets. I thought my pants were going to fall down.
Right. I used to give you all this little stuff. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, it's such a and anybody who would ever meet Rose, she's just the sweetest, most wonderful woman in the world. But I'm surprised Sal invites me back to his house for psychic readings, because I tell the story of Sal saying, "When is Rose coming back?" You know, and everybody laughs. But look at that, and I'm so happy for you. And you know, your son who passed away will be right there at that wedding. He's never going to miss that wedding.
No, I know. Thank you. I just got a quick question for you.
Sure.
My friend John said next to me, he's going through crazy changes here with this girl. He reminds me of who I was way back when. And
well, we do have you. We just had Michelle and her soulmate brought back together. We have you and Rose, and so that's a pretty good omen for John, who's kind of sitting there wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm really struggling with this. You know, she came down with cancer, stage 3C, and we started doing chemotherapy back in December 21st, and I was going with her, and out of nowhere, she stopped coming over to my house and saying, "We can't be together," and she was saying, "Well, I can't trust you." I said, I brought you to doctors. I got you these appointments. I give you the last shot in the belly. I give you all the medicine. I love you more than life. I don't have to be here. Why are you saying this? She just started acting weird after the medicine started, you know? And I haven't seen her now or heard from her since the 26th of January, and I'm distraught. I can't sleep, eat. I cry all day long. I can't even watch.
I don't blame you. What it is she's so afraid she's going to die. And she feels sick as a dog. The chemo is not, you know, is affecting her, not in a positive way. She's almost trying to make it easier on you if something should happen to her. Like, she doesn't want you there to watch her lose her hair and look terrible, and she doesn't want you sacrificing your life for her. She, you know, she's a really nice person, by the way.
Unbelievable.
She's a really nice, nice person. I know.
Is she my soulmate?
Of course, you have a very strong heart, soul, mind, body connection. We have more than one soulmate, but she's certainly a soulmate to you. But she feels like she's going to die. She's pretty convinced of that.
Oh,
and
God.
What she's trying to do is save you from having to bury her, saving you from having to witness what she's going through. I don't even think she wants the treatments anymore. So maybe, you know, you might be pushing her to get treatments that she doesn't want. I mean, it looks to me like she's not doing this because she doesn't love you. Okay? She loves you. That hasn't changed. You know she loves you. She loved you with everything. But some people have a hard time dealing with illness and their fear of dying and all of it. And what she's really doing is she's trying to protect you. And,
do you see her coming back to him?
Well, what I see is that he can probably contact her again, maybe in a week or two. You know, has he still been?
I'm blocked.
She blocked him.
Could you go to where she lives and see her?
If I show up there.
I mean, you could show up there.
Is that a good idea?
I would show up there. Show up there with flowers and say, "I know if you don't want to see me, it's fine, but here's the flowers." I just, you know, and just see. I mean, the reason I hate electronics, it's easy to block people. It's easy to lie in a text. All that's bullshit because you're not looking in somebody's eyes. You're not hearing their voice, okay? It's a lot harder to, like, look at somebody that's a soulmate in the eyes and act like you don't care. Like, so at least, you know, to be karmically correct, she would need to tell you that you're the love of my life, but I need to do this my way right now. I mean, at least you would feel better about it. And I think she's really feels so sick from all the treatments that she has that she's not herself.
I went up to the hospital 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday on chemo, and I said, "You know, I'm not going to go in there." So I just asked for her schedule. And when I did, security came up and talked to me. He said, "Look," so then I said, "Talk." The guy was a real nice guy. He said, "Look, she's right now, she just needs some space. and you're not allowed to have that information, you know, because all the HIPAA laws and stuff like that, you know. And I think maybe her mother must have said something. Don't have him get involved with your doctor's appointments and all that stuff, you know.
I think it's also there. I don't know. Does this girl have any money at all? Does she have anything?
She's going to have a lot of money.
Okay, because I think it's more, you know, her mother, other people don't want you around in case she dies. They don't want her giving you any money or anything like that. It's a lot about money in these cards showing up.
Oh,
so
nice.
They're just trying to keep her away. It's pretty common when people have cancer for people to keep other members and family and friends away from people. And
I got to tell you this. I got to tell you. I've never loved another human being like this in my entire life. This just got me crazy.
You know what a soulmate is. It's the same thing with Sal. Sal always thought every woman's interchangeable another. Let me just be with one dumb blonde after another. And then finally he meets Rose, and they're not all interchangeable.
I can't even look at anybody right now. I can't anything. Imagine, I can't.
I just want
to be back with her again. Am I going to see her again? Is she going to come back to me?
Well, it looks like you will see her. Have you tried writing her a letter?
I did. I wrote her a letter last time. I wrote her a letter 2 weeks ago, and I told Sal that I gave her a letter and flowers, and she was by her mother's house that day. That was the same day with security, and I didn't know if she read it or not.
No, she's read it, because that's what they kept telling me. She read the letter. Again, she's just trying to save you, like, so that you won't have to witness her dying. I mean, she's pretty convinced she's not going to get better from this. I'm not sure why she's so convinced.
She's going to get better. I spoke to the doctors. She's going to. She's going to die from this.
Right,
she's
but
going to get through this.
But in her own mind, she's scared. She doesn't want to be, you know, she doesn't want to be less than whole near you. She doesn't want any of that. But, you know, you can keep trying to connect with her. This way she'll know you never forgot her, that you love her and care about her. She didn't give you an explanation as to why she doesn't want to see you, did she?
No.
Up
and to the left. She uses an excuse. She tried to, like, get into an argument with me as an excuse, like, you know, maybe we should revisit this in 3 months, you know, take this time, you know, I don't trust you. I'm like, you don't trust me. What are you talking about? This is, where is this coming from?
Right, it's coming
from.
She's not responding well to the meds, by the way. So,
right.
You know, some people just do not do well on meds. They change their whole personality.
No, she's good with medicine. She's very fine.
Right, neither
do
I. Like, you know, when you take, I only took codeine once in my life for bronchitis.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to make you feel like a feeling of well-being. I was ready to kill everybody in the house. It was not good for me, okay? So, you know, with her, a lot of it's the meds and the fact that she's not well. So,
Does she miss me?
She does miss you. And so what you're going to do is pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to pray to be the same. Keep sending her love from your heart, from your soul at night before you go to sleep. Tell her you love her.
I got candles lit. I got candles lit on the south side of my house.
And keep doing that. Keep doing that. And, you know, she will talk to you. It looks like probably sometime in the next few weeks. You can maybe ask God if you can sort of run into her and, you know, catch her a little bit off guard. But, you know, it's to be karmically correct, she would have to tell you, the love of my life, but I can't do this right now. But she's doing what's called ghosting, just disappearing. And I'm not a fan of people who ghost people. I think it's one of the cruelest things you could do, just disappear from somebody and ghost them. And, you know, that's kind of what she's doing. She's just ghosting you right now. And it's cruel, but, you know, we'll say prayers for you here. Nicole will pray, because Nicole's prayers are very powerful. I'll pray for you. You have to just keep sending her love and write her another letter if you feel like it. And even if she doesn't answer it, it means that she's hearing that you love her. And, you know, before she got sick, did she tell you how much she loved you?
We were incredible. When we connected, it's explosions. It's crazy. crazy it was. We never needed TV because all we would do was just talk and just enjoy each other. We always went places. It was just the relationship I had with her was unbelievable. It was just epic.
Right.
That's
and
why I can't get this. I don't get how she just takes me to a cliff and drops me off and just disappears.
Well, what it is it seems like your soulmate love, like we were talking about with the last caller, Don, soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. And it appears to me some of her unhealed childhood issues surfaced. And if you stuff down a lot of anger your whole childhood, you end up with cancer. So
right.
It's not a coincidence that she is a soulmate, unhealed issues come forth. It actually ends up turning into cancer because, you know, people would rather be sick than face their childhood issues. They'd rather just be sick. Some people would rather die than face them. But it looks like she didn't have an easy childhood. Do you know about any of that?
Yep, she did not have an easy childhood. Her mother was not good and her father was not heroic.
Okay, so and it looks to me like there's some severe childhood abuse here that tried to surface. And a lot of people would rather die than face this because she might blame her dad because he's an alcoholic and whatever he might have done to her.
He died of stomach cancer at 74.
Yeah, and she might blame him, but really it was her mother who didn't protect her enough from that man. And it's her mother who she's really mad at. Now, meanwhile, her mother's acting like she's the Messiah Savior here.
Yes.
So there is a contradiction going on here. But it's not a coincidence that she should be brought you a soulmate. Unhealed issues will surface. Cancer will then come up in your body. Now she has to focus totally on the cancer, and she can't think about her childhood issues. And she'd push you away because she thinks you're the one who made this happen. No, your love made her feel safe enough to finally face something she needs to face.
Right.
But a lot of people just can't face their childhood issues. And that's what's going on.
Does she come back to me? Do we be together forever?
Well, it looks like she'll come back. You have to ask her shithead father, by the way, on the other side to help. And I'm calling him a shithead because he's under karmic obligation to make some of this right because whatever he did to his daughter is part of why she's not able to love you right now.
Yeah,
he promises to help. He promises to help. So
okay.
I would advise you to start asking him to help, to put thoughts in her head, to let her know how much you love her. And, again, you have to be a little bit patient and take care of yourself. Eat, try to sleep, try to eat so that you yourself won't get sick because that won't do any good either, will it, if you get sick. So call in again when you can, but know that her father promises to help.
Her birthday is the 31st of March, 55. Will I see you by then?
Well, that's what it looks like. It looks like sometime near her birthday. So if I were you, I'd put it in your mind that you want to see her on her birthday. You know, that looks doable here. So keep, praying for her. And, I'll tell you her.
We were going to send her a big thing of flowers to her house and all that.
I think that
birthday.
Would be wonderful. Wonderful.
For her birthday.
It's wonderful. But I'll tell you, her father was a real son of a bitch on earth, by the way.
Yeah.
And what a son of a bitch.
You know what scared me? You're not telling me that she's going to be back with me.
Well, what I'm seeing is that she wants to come back to you. But, I got this soulmate card that your love will lead her back. You know, let your love lead her back. But she's got to... she's got to come face to face with some of the things that are surfacing in her, and I think she's trying to face it by herself. So, what I got was the soulmate card. She knows your soulmates. She can return on a dime just the way she left on a dime. And put it in your mind by her birthday. You want to see her. And
I do.
And I could see that happening. So. Keep holding on to that love and, surround yourself with people who do love you like Sal and, so that you don't feel so alone.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing is that whatever's surfacing in her. Her father promises to try to help you, by the way.
Wow. Okay, so maybe by March I'll see her?
Probably toward that, right near her birthday, the end of March.
And does she come back anytime after that?
Well, it looks like she'll be coming back and forth still. So just be happy one day at a time when she comes back, by the way.
Okay.
Don't
okay.
pressure her. If you pressure her, she's going to bolt.
Okay.
So just, you know, be yourself, be nice, tell her you love her, but don't pressure her that this is forever, you have to see me forever or whatever. Just give her space. She needs a little
yep.
space. You know,
right,
she
so
does. Well, call in again and let us know, and good luck to you.
All right. Thank you very,
bye.
Very much. I
bye. Love
it.
You guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now, we had some good news with Sal, and I certainly think this man's a wonderful man, and I just hope, you know, that he just keeps his faith, because wouldn't you want to love that man?
Well, John or Sal? Well,
yeah, John. Wouldn't you just want to love John?
No. I feel so terrible for him. But you know what? Like, and that's why, you were in the midst of it. That's why I had actually asked at one point if she was taking arsenic in addition to the chemo, because a friend of mine was diagnosed with adult leukemia. And when she had to take that arsenic, oh my, it changed her personality. It completely
right.
changed
that's what
her. She became somebody else when she was going through that treatment. So, you know, I think that it's important for John also to remember that under the circumstances, the person that's turning him away and the person that's pushing him away is not the person that he's in love with. It's the person that is underlying and that is under the influence of this poison that she's putting in her body. You know, so that should at a certain point be some sort of a smaller consolation to him, knowing that that woman that spent time with him, that watched the TV with him, that enjoyed his company, that woman is being suppressed by a darker demon right now, you know, and
exactly.
that's who's rejecting him. That's who's pushing him away, you know, and also there's free will. It's free will for her to resurface, that same person that he fell in love with, but it's also free will for her to stay away. So the easiest way to handle that is for him to, like you said, give her her space, let her heal herself, let her heal her own issues, and then in addition to that, kind of, you know, turn around and say, okay, listen, let her be the one to come back to me. You know, it's not my job. It's not John's job to heal her. It's not John's job to make sure that she takes her meds. That's her job to make sure that she's taken care of. And the day that she wants help from him, she will reach out and he will be there, and then his forever can start.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, a lot of times it is the meds. It is a lot of other stuff. So just pray that it ends up, sooner than later, her seeing the light for him, because he's such a
yep.
nice man. Such
well,
a nice
I think
man.
That as long as he believes and he manifests, if that's meant to be, he'll make it be. But it can't be at his own expense.
No.
You know, I've always said that the worst thing, everybody loves this line, and I hate this line from this movie, and that's Jerry Maguire, okay, where she says, "You complete me." Everybody
right.
says, "Oh, you complete," like it's the most, you know, romantic line there is in anything. You know what? I'm sorry. You should go and you should enter love a complete person. There should be no incomplete going to incomplete, okay? Two people don't make a whole being. Two people are completely autonomous beings that happen to just be better versions of each other when they come together, you know? And I don't want John to think that this girl completes him. John is a whole person, and he needs to remain a whole person so that he can have that love that he wants, whether it's with her or anybody else.
Exactly. It's just so hard when your heart's pining
oh, I know.
For one person. Oh,
listen,
my
and
God.
And he needs his time to grieve, too. He needs his time to grieve, and he needs his time to you know, it is sad for him, and he has a right to be sad, and he should be sad, and that's okay. But he can't be sad forever.
No. First of all, he's got a lot of love to give, and he's just a wonderful, you know, he's
oh,
just
I know.
A wonderful
you can hear it
human
in his
being.
Voice.
He's a wonderful human being.
You can hear it
being.
In his voice. He's a sweetheart.
Now, we do have Adrian, and I'm probably going to get to Adrian tonight because...
Oh, yes, yes.
So you tell me about
Adrian
a bit.
Well, Adrian is calling us from New York, Cindy. Now, here's the thing with Adrian. She's got someone in her life, and yet she's still saying, what should I be doing? What's happening here? So clearly Adrian needs a little bit of advice from you regarding this certain someone, and hopefully you'll be able to assist tonight.
Okay, good. So,
hello, Adrian. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Adrian. So you're calling from New York.
Yes.
And you have someone. How long have you been with this someone?
Almost a year.
Okay. And you've been with him almost a year. And
mm-hmm.
But you're not sure he's the one?
I'm trying to figure that out. Yeah, I've been struggling because of past relationships, so I don't know if it's me or if my intuition is telling me something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, do you feel a heart connection with him?
I do.
Okay, good. How about a soul? Does he bring out the best in you?
Most of the time.
That's good. Most of the time is good. How about with your body? Do you have a strong body chemistry with him?
Yes.
Okay. How about do you like to communicate with him with your mind? Do you have a mind connection?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll at least know that you started out as soulmates, because soulmates have to have a heart, soul, mind, body connection.
Okay.
When you first met him, did you feel a sort of like a recognition factor, like you've always known him or that you were comfortable with him?
I knew I was comfortable with him.
Good. I mean, that's, you know, with that, you know, soulmates are pretty comfortable with each other. Soulmate love demands commitment to that love. Are you guys in a committed relationship? Do you call each other boyfriend and girlfriend?
Not really. That's the only thing. I'm not ready to really put it to that level yet, because I'm coming also out of like a divorce. So I didn't want to rush into things.
Okay. Now, I would say you've got some commitment issues, darling. You were married, and so you definitely weren't afraid of commitment because you're married, but did you marry someone who you thought was a soulmate? Did you love him heart, soul, mind, and body?
That's where I'm not too sure, because we rushed into the relationship. We had kids together, and because I grew up in a religious home, I thought it was the right thing to get married, and I was young.
Right, because what I'm seeing is that your husband was never a soulmate. And the ladder of love, soulmate's at the top. You have a heart, soul, mind, body connection. It's a man's commitment to each other, commitment to healing. What it looks like your husband was a man to fit a plan. He was the right shape, size, color. He seemed like a nice enough man. You'd never had a soulmate before. So when we're young, we really don't know one love from the next. It seems like it was good enough. But how long did you actually stay married to him?
10 years.
Okay, because relationships work in 5-year cycles, so I'm not surprised it ended at the 10-year mark. But for a long time in your marriage, it looked like you had one foot in, one foot out. You didn't know if you wanted to go or, you know, stay or go. And I would say you were sort of a committed commitment phobic. You were married to a man you didn't love all that much.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've been given a different animal. Can you see the difference between what you feel for the man you're with now and what you had with your husband?
Yes.
Okay, that it's a different kind of love, okay? I'm sure with your husband, he's the father of your children. So, you know, when you had a home together, it's different. But, you know, now you're being challenged on your commitment. Like, love can't grow without commitment. And if you're not going to commit to that love, it isn't going to grow. And, I mean, is this man wanting you to commit to it at this point?
He tells me he does, but, like, it's, like, a part of, I don't know if it's me, like I said, like, the intuition, my trust level. Like, I don't know if it's me that I have trust issues, or he's making me feel like I have a reason to not trust him.
Okay. Now, if you're not committed to him,
mm-hmm.
Then I don't understand what a trust issue is. If you're not, you know, if someone's your boyfriend and you're his girlfriend and you're a committed relationship, then, you know, you're not supposed to be sleeping with other people or seeing other people. But if you're not committed to him, I don't understand why you what's with the trust. I mean, if you're not committed to him, he's free to do kind of what he wants, isn't he?
Well, I mean, that's like we've talked about it and we both agreed that we wouldn't see other people. It's just that we haven't actually put like a label on us.
Okay, that's two commitment phobics, by the way. You mean you're committed, you see each other all the time, you just can't say the words?
But
love needs trust, and trust comes with a label. I'm your boyfriend, yeah. I'm your girlfriend, I'm your fiance, I'm your wife. You know, not saying the word shows the commitment, and who, you're afraid to say it, he's afraid to say it, you're both afraid to say it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, it's kind of he's scared, she's scared, but, I can understand why you might not feel so trusting if you don't have a label. And, I mean, I'm not seeing that he's really doing anything wrong, by the way.
Okay.
Believe me, I don't know if you ever listen to our shows, but most of the time I'm telling who's cheating, who's lying, who's awful. He seems like a good man. He looks like he had a relationship that didn't work out that well also. Do you know about that?
Yes, he's actually had a couple of them, so I think.
So, you know, he's afraid
why.
Too. But
yeah.
You're two genuinely good people. When you put two genuinely good people together, love is really pretty easy. I mean, he's tended to fall in the past for what I call the princesses that become the beast. Women who are, narcissists, women who are manipulators and judgmental. So he didn't really fully trust his judgment either, because he doesn't always pick the best people. They kind of pick him. So, I mean, the first 3 to 6 months, all love looks about the same. 6 months to a year is when, you know, you got a year behind you. You guys have some history. I mean, it's hard to trust somebody until you have some history behind you. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like you didn't.
Yeah.
But you've been together a year now. That's history, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I can't see he's done anything for you not to trust him, by the way. How often do you see him?
I see him a couple of times a week.
Okay, that's good. I mean, you know, do you have a good sex life with him?
Absolutely.
Okay, I love that, because soulmates have a very good sex life. Because there's a reason for it. It's the glue that's supposed to help keep you together. It's something that keeps you and him from the temptations of the world. And it's something you two are only supposed to do with each other, nobody else in the world. So it really is special. And I mean, does he want regular sex with you?
Yes.
Okay, great. I love it, because most men nowadays are hooked on porn and they don't even want sex with women. It's kind of frightening. They rather masturbate than be with women. It's an issue in America. This is a man who wants to be with you regularly, wants to have sex with you. I think you need to chill out and relax a little bit, but you might want to have the talk at the year mark. I mean, is it a year yet?
It's almost a year, yeah.
Okay, but you know, at the anniversary of a year, are we boyfriend, girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And say it. And, you know, do you tell him you love him? Do you tell him you love him?
I have.
Does he tell you?
Yes.
Okay, my recipe for the two of you is just say I love you a lot more. You know, when you start with I love you, I love yous have a DNA that goes right into you and changes everything inside of you. It just makes you feel secure. I mean, and the way we start our relationships is the way they will continue. I mean, when I first met my current husband, I would always tell him I love him. And first, I think he thought it was probably a little bit weird. And I would say, no, how we begin our relationship is how we're going to continue it. He probably says, I love you more than I do now. So it's something that those words are important. But what I'm seeing is that you're just afraid of getting hurt, or maybe afraid of getting something you can't get out of. And it also brings up a fear of loving someone who could die on you, by the way. It's pretty scary to love somebody a lot. You know that.
Yeah.
It's scary. But your children need to see a better version of love than they saw with you and their father. Are you aware of that?
Very aware.
Okay, so, you know, this is something, have they met him yet?
Yeah, but I only introduced him as a friend.
Okay. How old are your kids?
11, 9, and 8.
Okay. You know, by the time you get to the year mark, I think you got to start introducing him as more than just your friend, don't you think?
Yeah.
And let them see how a man treats a woman. You're laughing. I'm just cracking you up because everything I'm telling you is so
I'm laughing. It's me laughing, Cindy.
Oh,
you
laughing.
You know why I'm laughing right now?
Why? Why?
Because, let me ask you, let's see how good your memory is, Cindy. When
yeah.
I got out of my horrible relationship, and I didn't want to know anything about any relationships, I just wanted somebody there when I wanted somebody, who did I meet? Lisa. And what did
right,
I do?
Exactly.
Lisa and I sat around for a year with the rule, you do what you do, I do what I do, when we're together, we're together, when we're not, we're not. And on the anniversary of the year, we had a conversation. We said, listen, we got to shit or get off the pot. And you know what? We said we were going to try it. Okay, we're like, you know what? What's the worst that could happen? It doesn't work out. It wasn't meant to be. We become friends later on. No harm, no foul. And we tried labeling that relationship after dating for a year of having no commitment. And here we are however many years later, and, you know, we've been married over a year now.
So, you see.
Wow.
So what we're just trying to tell you is why don't you try the boyfriend-girlfriend thing?
Take a chance.
Get the label. Take a chance. He's
a
good guy from what I see here. He's a good guy. So, you know, you're waiting for the prince to become the beast the way your husband did.
Don't
okay.
Don't keep waiting for a shoe to drop because eventually somebody's going to throw a shoe. Okay?
Right.
If you're constantly waiting for something, you're going to get it. You know, eventually you're going to get it. So instead of waiting for the bad to happen, wait for the better to happen. You know, that's what I tell people. Wait for the better to happen. Don't always wait for the bad because then you're manifesting the bad. You're manifesting that almighty screw-up that's going to end it because then you don't have to face your fear of getting close to anybody again and having it turn out like your last relationship. You know, and I know that for a fact because I did that my entire adult life until I met my wife. You know, and I did exactly what you did. I healed my issues and I sat there after, you know, afterwards for a year. And I dating the same person. We refuse to label it. Refuse. People would say, come on, get over it. She's your girlfriend. I'm like, nope, she's not. You know, it didn't matter when it was, you know. But we had an honest conversation on that anniversary. And it was very basic. What are we doing here? Because you know what? We do everything that couples do, yet we're not calling each other a couple. Like, you know, let's shit or get off the pot, literally. You know, let's either make this happen or let's agree to disagree and just walk away.
Exactly. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show. Adrian, would you do us a favor and call in again in the future?
Yes.
And let us know how the advice works and if you have a question. But
and take a chance.
He looks like a good guy. Make love, enjoy, have fun, you know?
Okay.
Thank you for calling into our show. And good
Thank
night,
you.
Everybody. And remember, we have no show next week, but we'll speak to you on the 16th. Bye,
All
everybody.
Righty, then.
Thank you, Nicole.
Good night.
Bye.